Chapter 1. The worst thing about being a black lawyer is that everyone you know thinks you're their lawyer, and they can call you about anything at any time. And while I'm sure that happens to all lawyers, white, yellow, brown, and beige, because I'm black, it's almost a guarantee that whatever my people need me for at whatever time is likely so ghetto and or hood, there's simply no way I can tack my signature to having anything to do with the situation. Now, that may sound uppity to some black folks and flat out hateful to others, but I bet not one black lawyer considering my statement will disagree. And that's because it's the truth. Ugly, but true. Case in point. My cousin Tyree got pulled over last month for speeding on the FDR Drive. Doesn't sound too bad. Add, though, that it was 4 a.m. Tyree is a convicted felon with hard-time muscles and shady gang prison tattoos from wrists to neck. He was high on crystal meth, naked, and his car was packed with frozen hot dogs he'd stolen from Gray's Papaya. In case anyone is wondering, I can't even try to make this crap up. It was on the news. Now, this little string of drama is totally in Tyree's range of ridiculousness, so no one should judge him. But according to the actual police report, when officers in squad cars and helicopters had their bright lights and guns pointed at his muscly black body in the dead of night on one of the busiest highways in New York City, this fool stepped out of the car and demanded that someone call his fucking lawyer Kimberly Kind. This was repeated more than 50 times before they wrestled his silly ass to the ground and got him into one of the police cars. Did I mention that this was in the actual police report? And on the news? I should have stayed my black behind in bed because I was due in court in the next morning. But you can't say no to your Aunt Sissy when she calls you wailing in the middle of the night to go get her baby boy out of jail. No matter what I had going on, at that moment, I was expected to make some kind of black lawyer magic happen. Or I'd face a jury of my peers who'd find me guilty of acting funny, or worse, forgetting where I came from. Luckily, or unluckily, depending on how you see it, I saved my reputation by getting Tyree off on a technicality. Now, I knew whatever my twin brother had going on when he called this morning asking me out to brunch wouldn't be too far from Tyree's antics on the FDR Drive. As my grandmother used to say, Tyree and Kent were cut from the same cloth, and though my brother had fewer strikes behind his name, the last time he'd called at 6 a.m., it was because he'd gotten caught selling black market Newports at Rucker Park. Still, I agreed to meet him in Hell's Kitchen at my favorite Sunday brunch spot, 44 and X. He was paying, so it was all good. I showed up late, but he wasn't there, so I chose a table out on the street where I could see the sun and enjoy the loud white noise of a city that had no tolerance for standing still. I ordered a mimosa, sat back, and tried to think of something lovely, but a huge black fly kept buzzing in my ear. When Kent finally pulled up on his big black motorcycle, the engine roared so loudly that everyone seated at the sidewalk tables turned to see what was going on. He slid into a slender space right in front of the door and hopped off the motorcycle like someone was about to ask for his autograph. Kent had been born less than 2 minutes after me, but thank God we looked nothing alike. My baby brother was always the biggest man in any room, save Tyree and his prison muscles. He'd been 6'7", 290 pounds, and solid since we were in high school. While he was my father's only son, when he took on our father's nickname, Mook, folks in our neighborhood in Hamilton Terrace started calling Kent Big Mook and Daddy Lil Mook. Kiki Mimi! Kent called out with his arms extended toward me as he padded over to my table. He was an hour late for a brunch he'd invited me to, but I stood and grinned at him anyway. I let him pick me up and spin me around like we hadn't seen each other since emancipation. More than anyone in the world, Kent always seemed to know how to make me smile. He was my little brother and big brother at the same time. "You're late," I said after he hugged me half to death and we'd settled into our seats. "Nah, I'm right on time, love. God is always on time," he responded mystically. He joined the 5% Nation when we were in high school and still referred to himself as God. "Well, maybe God should be an hour early next time," I said.
"Don't stress me. You've been late the last few times we were supposed to meet up, so don't play," he said, as our wide-eyed white waitress wearing a gold name tag spelling out Holly approached the table, licking her lips in his direction.